Welcome, everybody, to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. I am your host this evening, Doug Hummer. I am joined here by, of course, my trusty sidekick, Eric.
Hello.
And Stevie is joining us.
Hi.
No Daniel this week. He is actually back home getting drunk off his ass for his birthday.
Happy birthday, Daniel.
Yeah. Well, it's tomorrow.
Okay.
But tonight, I think, is probably the pre-party. All right. On this edition of the podcast, we are doing a career retrospective. One that I am not necessarily looking forward to because I hate this motherfucker. On the franchise, Shane Douglas. We put the polls up in several different... Well, we had the poll up in just one group. Eric didn't like the results, so he put the polls up in other groups. So Eric sabotaged our booking again.
This is why I'm
not telling him until the last minute what the top 10 cartoons are going to be. So tonight the franchise, Shane Douglas. I'll get some plugs out of the way here real quick. Listen to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday and usually Friday nights. They're not going to do a show tonight. Boxman actually has to babysit or has to look over his daughter, look after his daughter tonight. So they will not be doing it. Usually every Wednesday and Friday night, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, mixer.com/dirtsheetdudes, is around 10 o'clock Eastern time. They can be found on all major podcast platforms. Now, they will be doing a show on Sunday for Hell in a Cell. So they'll be doing like a live reaction show. It's going to start, I believe, at 6:30, which I don't know how that's going to work, especially if we're going till 7 and Boxman's going to be on the show with us.
Oh.
Does nobody know how to time things anymore?
Remember, he's an hour behind.
Yeah, but he always goes by Eastern.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So, I don't know. Nobody knows how to keep time on anything anymore. But
you want me to ask him?
No, you know, I mean, if he has to cut out early, he has to cut out early. I mean, just as long as he's with us for a little. And plus, anyway, we'll talk about that later. All right, but make sure you listen to them. Also, listen to us every Friday night. I think we're going to start from now on at 7 p.m. Eastern time for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. I don't know what we're doing next week because I'm working, so it depends on what Daniel, Eric, and Stevie want to do.
Oh, you're working next Friday?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that'll be a discussion for another time. But yeah, listen to that. This Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern time, it's finally going to happen. The top 10 greatest cartoons of all time countdown. Join, of course, Eric, myself, Stevie's going to be with us, Boxman from the Dirt Sheet Dudes. My buddy Rick will be back with us. My friend Colin says he's going to join in. Mine and Eric's boss, Karen, is going to join in. That's her reward for getting all the lists that she got for us. And then, I don't know, other people may join. I don't know. But we're going to count down the top 10 greatest cartoons of all time. Now, we are also having a contest. In this contest, if you can accurately guess what the top 10 is going to be and or come the closest, you will win a $25 gift card to wherever you want. Just make sure your lists are into either Eric or myself by showtime on Sunday. And that's 5 o'clock Eastern time. It's a fun little contest. It's to see if anybody can get it, how close anybody can get to this. Eric and I, of course, are not eligible. Mainly because I kind of have an idea what the top 10 is going to be because I'm the one keeping score. And Eric's not eligible because him and I are married, and the person, and you cannot be married to the guy running the contest. No, just kidding. Eric's not eligible because he also hosts the show. Get that rule started. All right.
I need to know the top 10 before the show.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
So, all right. Also, Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Eastern time, same channel, blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted. We will be doing the NFL Hard Hits show, reviewing Week 7, previewing Week 8. It's going to be Kenneth and I.
Yeah.
All right. Enough of me rambling on like an idiot, even though I'm just going to keep talking. The franchise Shane Douglas. Stevie, I'm going to ask you first.
All right.
When was the first time you saw Shane Douglas on television?
I remember him in ECW. He was a former world champion in ECW. But what I remember him most as a tag team with Ricky Steamboat in 93 in WCW against the Hollywood Blondes.
Right. Now, for anybody that doesn't know, his career, like up to that point, he had been in the business 10 years. He started in 1982. He was trained by Dominic DiNucci. Him and Mick Foley were actually trained at the same time. They were trained by Dominic DiNucci. And so Shane Douglas had, you know, been going pretty much everywhere. For a time, he was actually like one of the first wrestling names he used. He was known as Troy Orndorff, the fictional nephew of Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Now, he was in Bill Watts' old territory in the UWF. He got brought in by Eddie Gilbert. And that's when he started being known as Shane Douglas. He's a former TV champion there.
Yep.
Now, Eric, what are your first memories of this asshole? I mean, of Shane Douglas.
Basically, just from ECW and this I watched on a like former this old clip. I mean, I remember him. One thing I remember him for is he tried to recreate ECW, but a different brand under a different name. And I forget what year it was, but yeah, he tried that and it failed. Obviously.
I think that was when he bought XPW.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I think that was like 02 or like 01 or 02. All right. So we'll kind of get into that a little bit because kind of the story here, XPW, Stevie, do you remember anything about XPW?
I never watched XPW because mostly I remember him in WCW, ECW, and WWE as Dean Douglas.
Okay. So XPW kind of was founded in 1999. By a guy by the name of Rob Black and his wife, Lizzie Borden. Lizzie Borden was a porn star and Rob Black was a porn director.
Oh.
Wow.
And they founded this company. Basically, it was supposed to be the more extreme version of ECW.
Okay.
So if ECW was a porn company, this would be it. and they grabbed they got a couple other adult film stars, one by the name of Christy Mist. And there was a couple other ones, I can't remember their names, but they were kind of part of it. And Shane Douglas was there. Shane Douglas actually, I think he was the first world champion, because he was kind of bouncing in between, or he went there shortly before he went to WCW.
Oh, okay.
But when he kind of took over the company, that I believe was in 2002, because he had to sit out the rest of his contract from WCW with the buyout. And So he moved XPW from LA to Philadelphia. But the company actually folded in March of 2003.
Okay.
Go ahead, Stevie.
So basically the company wasn't in business for so long.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, it had a few years. And it was, I've seen some of it. I actually had, 10 years ago, they released a DVD set, like the first and second season of the company, and then like the third season or something like that. Because, again, they were one of those companies, they were having trouble trying to make money. So, and they basically turned, and like I said, it was basically getting turned into, you know, it wasn't mostly wrestling. It was more episodic television than it was wrestling. So it became more of a soap opera. Like they hadn't run a show for like, at one point in the summer months or the summer through winter of 2000 to early 2001, they didn't run a show at all.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, they didn't have any wrestling shows, so what they did was they would, you know, just keep up with the storylines by having everybody interact with each other like on the streets and shit.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it was stupid, but
right.
But yeah, so and then, you know, Shane Douglas, obviously, he's most remembered, I think, for his ECW run, because that's where he had the most success. But also, one of his first big breaks, besides the big break with the UWF, came in 1989 as part of the tag team, the Dynamic Dudes.
I remember that tag team.
What, Eric?
He's, who was his tag team partner?
Johnny Ace. John Laurinaitis.
Okay. Oh, wow. Huh. Two douchebags.
All right, Stevie, what do you remember about the Dudes?
Oh, I think it was one pay-per-view. They were wrestling the Fabulous Freebirds for the tag titles. And Jim Cornette was their manager, but they fell short and didn't win them.
I think that was Halloween Havoc 1989, the first Halloween
Havoc.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah. That's one of the matches I remember watching off the WWE Network.
All right. So the thing with the Dynamic Dudes is they were not getting – first of all, the Dynamic Dudes, they would skateboard to the ring. They would skateboard to the ring.
Right.
And
wow.
But they were not necessarily getting over with the audience.
Right.
So, and, you know, Cornette was managing them at the time because he was trying to help get them over. And then they
had
the big feud with the Midnights, because the Midnights were, you know, upset that Cornette was devoting his time to another team.
Yeah.
And then they had the big feud, and they had this big match on a Clash of Champions where Cornette actually stabbed the dudes in the back.
Right.
Wow.
So, and that was supposed to get the dynamic dudes over as huge baby faces, but what it did instead was it got the Midnights cheered by the audience, because the Midnights are like, oh my God, they're finally heels again, and they're finally going to start winning matches again. Because at that time, Jim Herd hated the Midnights. So,
well, he wanted to run them out of WCW.
Correct.
Yeah.
And but he didn't like the dynamic dudes either. So Cornette's just like, all right, well, we'll work with them since you can't stand any of us. And Herd's is like, all right, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
So.
So I got a question.
Sure.
What was Jim Herd's issue with the Midnight Express? Why did he want to get rid of them?
He didn't get them. Because Jim Herd was obsessed. I think Jim Herd was a body guy. And he liked guys like Luger. He liked Sting. He liked Sid. He didn't get the Midnights. He didn't get why they were so popular, why they were so over.
Okay.
And, you know, that was the issue. Now, with the dynamic dudes, of course, the dudes, they would go on, they would team through 1989. In March of 1990, Shane Douglas would leave WCW. And there's been, like, conflicting reports. I think one of the main reasons that I heard that he left WCW is because he did not want a job to a guy by the name of Mean Mark Callis. Can anybody tell me who Mean Mark Callis is?
The Undertaker?
Correct. So, I mean, and obviously this is before, you know, he was the Undertaker, but still, they were trying to get Mean Mark Callis over. They figured, okay, well, we'll have Shane lose to him on television, and Shane Douglas is just like, I don't think so.
Right.
So he left. He would join WWF for the first time in June of 1990. He was mainly used as a jobber, but he would beat other jobbers at the house shows.
Okay.
He was mainly used for that, but he was given a opportunity to be in the 1991 Royal Rumble because he started winning more matches then because they figured, all right, well, you know, we could probably get some use out of this guy. And he lasted about 26 minutes in the Rumble.
Wow.
Stevie, do you remember seeing him in the Rumble?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I remember because I watched the Rumble like 91, like basically all the time. So I remember him in there.
All right, so he does that, but then they weren't really going to do anything with him, so then they just kind of used him to just keep jobbing to people. But then he had to take some time off because his father was dying, and he ultimately left the company. And then, of course, he shows up in September of 1992 to WCW, which, you know, what Stevie was talking about earlier, and his first match on WCW television is him beating a guy by the name of the Super Invader. So, and then of course that started, you know, he took off from there. because they were going to use him as a single star, and then he started feuding with Flying Brian, but then they teamed him with Ricky Steamboat, and it was actually a pretty – they were actually a pretty good tag team.
Yeah, they were.
Eric, do you remember any of this stuff, any of his early WCW run?
No, not really.
Okay.
I don't even remember him for ECW, really.
Okay.
Kind of.
So, now, Stevie, you said that you remember the feud with him and Steamboat versus the Blondes.
Yeah.
Remember, you remember the Slamboree cage match?
Oh yeah, that was like one of my favorite matches to watch.
Okay, so you remember the match when Steamboat and Douglas? Well, when Steamboat and it was supposed to be Douglas, but it wasn't Douglas, even though they said it was Douglas, were under the masks.
Yeah. Wait. Was Douglas under the mask there, or he wasn't?
He wasn't. All right, so
he wasn't.
Shane Douglas actually had a broken ankle.
Oh.
Okay. And they were going to have this match, but he didn't think he could go, and then he ended up leaving the company anyway. So they said it was him under the mask, but it was actually the Z-Man.
Oh, okay.
That's why Steamboat took his mask off, but the guy that was pretending to be Shane Douglas kept his mask on.
Yeah, because I remember Steamboat going on top of the cage and jumping off the cage onto the Pillman and Austin.
Right. Then, of course, after he leaves WCW, which he was having issues anyway, because that's actually in 93 of, well, first of all, Shane Douglas already hated Ric Flair to begin with, because Flair was the booker for a while, 1989 through 1990.
Right.
So he already didn't like Flair. And then Shane Douglas had a hard time getting along with Ole Anderson. So that's why he left and he went to WCW. Or not WCW.
Oh.
And then, all right, what do you guys remember, if anything, about the night when he won the NWA World title in the summer of 1994? When he won the NWA world title and he threw it down on the ground and said, I'm not the NWA champion, I'm the ECW champion.
He did a promo. I have that clip for the end later.
Okay. So, Stevie, what do you remember about that?
Didn't he, like, when he won the title, didn't he, like, badmouth the belt?
Yeah.
Or something? Yeah.
Yes.
Saying
he trashed
Ric
Flair too, right?
Yeah.
Saying that he, talking about the NWA that didn't exist anymore or something.
Because to be honest with you, I mean, it really didn't exist that much anymore. Because it was more of, kind of hard to say. Oh, because like it was the NWA really wasn't like much of a territory anymore, because the NWA one time was this huge conglomerate of other territories, but now it's just like, okay, you still have an NWA champion and they still have like their little shows that 200 people attend, but it wasn't what it used to be.
Right.
Which was to Shane Douglas's point. So, now his run in ECW obviously was memorable. I mean, he was the champion. And he had a pretty, when he was a champion, of course, he had memorable matches with the Sandman, with Dreamer, with Cactus.
RVD?
Not in the first run, because RVD wasn't there yet.
Okay. I was going to do a cheap plug for when we did a retrospective on RVD.
Also, he worked with Terry Funk quite a bit, with Sabu. Now, he left ECW in 1995 to go to the WWF as Dean Douglas. The whole idea of the Dean Douglas character was that he was a teacher and he would give out failing grades to people. Stevie, what do you remember most about Dean Douglas?
He didn't have the Intercontinental title for long. I mean, he lost it to Razor at one of the In Your House pay-per-views or something.
Yeah, we can get into that.
Yeah, because I think, he had a good feud with Razor Ramon.
Right. Was a good feud, but the problem is that there was so much, there was so much heat between the two. And
yeah, I was watching. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was watching a little bit of an interview he did, and he said he was close to Razor and Shawn at one point.
He may have been.
They said they were calling something.
Yeah. I mean, when he was there, when he was in the WWF for the first run back in 1990, they talked about splitting Shawn and Marty up so Shawn could be a single star. Or this is what I had heard, or what I read earlier. They were going to split him up to be a single star. And they were going to have Shane Douglas actually team with... Or actually, no, they weren't splitting him up to be a single star. Shawn was hurt. And so they actually had Shane fill in as one of the Rockers.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, I never knew about that.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah. So he teamed with Marty on a few house shows.
Oh.
So, the whole In Your House deal, all right, now, if it would have won the poll last week, we would have talked about this last week. In Your House for the Great White North, it was supposed to be Shane Douglas versus Shawn Michaels for the Intercontinental title.
Okay, now, that's right. I think you remember that.
I don't remember what the issue was, but the issue was between Shane Douglas and Shawn Michaels, but Shawn supposedly got beat up by, it depends on who you believe. Like, somebody said it was by like 6 or 7 Marines. Somebody said it was by like 10 of them. Somebody said, and then another person said it was only one. But he got beat up in a nightclub in Syracuse, or in a bar in Syracuse, New York, by a Marine or some Marines or whatever the hell. And then, so he got beat up so bad he was not able to defend the Intercontinental title. But it's also being reported that he decided that he basically faked the whole thing, or not necessarily faked the whole thing, but that he wasn't beat up as bad as everybody had thought, and he just didn't want to face Shane Douglas. So I don't know if Shane was going to win the Intercontinental title or what, but there was even a story about Shawn even painting, like somebody in makeup putting, coloring bruises in on his face.
Oh, wow. It was that deep?
I never knew that.
Back in 1995, Shawn Michaels was a piece of shit, Eric.
Yeah, I know.
So anyway, so then Dean Douglas is awarded the Intercontinental title, but then he drops it 20 minutes later to Razor Ramon.
Right.
And it's just, that basically just showed you what they felt, how they felt of the guy.
Yeah. But, like, watching the match, I thought Dean Douglas was, like, going to retain it, but I guess that wasn't the case.
Nah, and then he had, he was having more issues with the company. He actually had a back injury.
Oh.
That, you know, he wanted to get fixed or whatever. He had some kind of falling out with Vince that had to do because of the back injury.
Oh.
So, he ends up leaving in January of 96. He goes back to ECW. Now, kind of fast-forwarding a little bit in later on in ECW, or like later on in 96, he has the issues with the pit bulls. Stevie, do you remember Shane Douglas's feud with the pit bulls and Francine becoming, you know, his valet?
I don't remember, unfortunately.
Okay, Eric, do you know anything about that?
No. Valet?
Yeah, his valet, Francine. So, Francine was, and this is how ECW was back in the day, too. They called Francine the Beastmaster of the Pit Bulls.
Wow. She wasn't bad looking.
No, she was gorgeous, I think, at that time.
Yeah.
Great.
And then so she turned on the Pit Bulls, and then there was a, you know, Shane Douglas, of course, he was the leader of the Triple Threat at the time too, which had many different incarnations. But there was one incident where he was wrestling Gary Wolf, who was Pitbull number one, in a match, and Gary Wolf broke his neck.
Wow.
So, but then Shane Douglas, but they would say that Shane did it on purpose. That was the storyline, is that Shane Douglas purposely broke the neck of Gary Wolf. And then there was a, there was a match between the two of them at the end of 1996, or between Shane Douglas and Pitbull number two. And Pitbull number one, Gary Wolf, comes into the ring to get in Shane's face. And he had on one of those like halo type things because of the neck injury.
Right.
Right.
Shane Douglas grabbed the halo and shook it.
Each.
And fans were coming, the locker room emptied, and fans were coming out of their seats. Shane Douglas almost caused a riot.
That must have been a nightmare.
Yeah. Caused a riot, and it was something that, you know, shouldn't have happened. I don't know how much of a shoot it was. I don't know how much of a work it was.
Right.
But yeah, it was something. And then of course he would go on to work, or go on to go against Bull number two, Anthony Durante, at ECW's first pay-per-view, Barely Legal. Stevie, have you seen Barely Legal?
Unfortunately, no, I haven't. But I've been watching some of the ECW shows on the network, so. But I haven't watched that one.
Okay. All right.
I don't think I've watched that one either.
All right, so
which one is it? 98.
At 97. So the whole Pitbull thing started. It was at the 1996 Heatwave show. It wasn't a pay-per-view, but it was a Heatwave show. That's when Shane Douglas broke Gary Wolf's neck by hitting him with a DDT on the ECW title. But then, you know, Anthony Durante, Pitbull number two, he would take over. And him and Shane Douglas had had this match. It was one of the best built matches on the show. But the match was too long. It was so long and boring. So, and then, of course, it was there. Ravishing Rick Rude debuted into the company. He started kind of feuding with Shane Douglas a little bit. And Shane Douglas, of course, was the ECW TV champion at the time. Now, let's kind of talk about the triple threat here a little bit. Stevie, do you remember Shane Douglas's triple threat?
No, I don't. But I remember him as, like, the ECW world champion. But okay. I didn't watch the triple threat, so.
Oh, no. So you didn't really watch much of him in the group with Chris Candido and Bam Bam Bigelow?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Eric, did you know anything about that?
I mean, we talked about it on the previous show before when we did the tables.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I remember from that.
All right, so basically the Triple Threat was a stable. I mean, the original members of the Triple Threat were obviously Shane Douglas, Chris Benoit, and Dean Malenko.
Oh, wow.
And then, of course, when Malenko and Benoit left, he would then actually be part of the Triple Threat with the Eliminators of John Cronus and Perry Saturn.
Okay.
And then, of course, it would change. It would then be Shane Douglas, Brian Lee, and Chris Candido. Then Brian Lee would turn on Shane Douglas, and then and then in the summer of 97, it would be Shane Douglas, Bam Bam Bigelow, and Chris Candido. That's probably the more famous version of the triple threat. Even then, though, too, Shane Douglas and Bam Bam Bigelow had some pretty good matches over the ECW title. Do you guys remember any of those matches?
No, not really. Not really. No.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, I don't think I've actually I saw the one where Bigelow won the title from Shane Douglas because it was a deal where Rick Rude was kind of mentoring Bam Bam and had him beat Shane for the title and had him go against Shane for the title, and that's where he beat him. The rematch where Shane won the belt back, I don't remember seeing. But it was after winning the belt back from Bam Bam that that Shane would embark on a record reign with the ECW title, and he would hold the ECW title for 409 days.
But
he's a four-time champion.
Yeah. Then he lost it. He did lose it to Taz, though, didn't he?
Yep, in January of 99.
Yeah, I remember that match.
All right, have you seen that? So you've seen that match before, Stevie?
Yeah, him against Taz.
All right. Eric, have you seen that match before?
Not that I recall.
Okay.
Go check it out. When was this? 99?
Yeah, the Guiltiest Charge 99 pay-per-view.
All right. And that's on the network, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was that his last ECW title match?
That was his last defense of the ECW title, yeah, because he would lose the title.
And he never got it back. He never won it back after.
Nope. So then and it was because of interference from the guy that was supposed to be his friend. And Chris Candido, that caused Shane Douglas to lose the title to Taz. And then Candido and Lance Storm, his partner, would actually then feud against Tommy Dreamer and Shane Douglas.
Okay.
And when Shane Douglas left ECW, he actually gave Tommy Dreamer Francine.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Was he close with Tommy Dreamer?
Huh?
I mean, was he friends with Tommy Dreamer?
I think they were friends, yeah. I mean, the reason why he had left ECW in 99 is because he had issues with Paul Heyman.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was gonna ask you what your relationship with Heyman was.
I know that's hard to believe that somebody would have issues with Heyman, but it happened.
Right.
He wasn't a Paul Heyman guy.
No, he was not. So now, fast forwarding a little bit, we get to WCW. Eric, did you remember anything about his next run in WCW in 99-2000?
No, I didn't really watch WCW towards the end, besides when they ran out when they were going out of business.
Okay. I mean, it's technically
WWF.
It's like watching today's current WWE.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, Stevie, what do you remember about Shane Douglas's next WCW run?
Yeah. I remember watching him like in like the early 90s, but getting close to when WCW, like they were, you know, about ready to close their doors. I didn't really watch him that much, like around 99 or 2000. So I just remember him like maybe early 90s, like 92 and 93 in WCW. That's where I remember.
All right, so you didn't watch a lot of the stuff with the Revolution and all that?
No, I didn't really watch it towards the end.
Okay. So you were mainly a WWF guy.
Basically. That's like the only company I would watch is WWF. I didn't really care for WCW that much.
Okay.
I think WCW in 96, 97, 98.
Right.
I mean, I would watch Nitro and Raw at the same time, though. But I didn't really order any of the WCW pay-per-views.
Okay. I mean, I think a lot of people were not ordering the pay-per-views at the time. Because Nitro and Thunder were already shit, so why the hell would you watch this other stuff?
Right.
So, all right. So, in 99, he forms a stable called The Revolution with Chris Benoit, Dean Malenko, and Perry Saturn. And they were a babyface stable at first, and then Malenko, Saturn, and Douglas would turn on Benoit.
Benoit?
Yeah. And then Revolution would be a heel group, but then in January of 2000, the members of the Revolution, along with other guys, and I think we've talked about this before, when a lot of the WCW guys were unhappy and many of them called WWF looking for a job.
Yeah.
Well, who can blame
Benoit, Eddie.
Yeah.
So that list of guys was actually, from what I've heard, it was obviously Benoit, Malenko, Guerrero, and Saturn. But looking with them were Conan, Shane Douglas, Billy Kidman was about ready to walk out.
I remember that, yeah.
And Disco Inferno.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But Disco Inferno never came to WWF.
Correct. So what happened was, and Bruce Pritchard has talked about this on his podcast, because they actually did two episodes on the Radicals. So Shane Douglas never went over because, I mean, he thought about it, but then he's just like, you know what? I don't like Vince McMahon. I don't like the WWF, so I don't want to go. When Conan called to get a job, he called and introduced himself as K-Dog. Bruce Pritchard had no idea who the hell K-Dog was. He knew him as Conan, but he didn't know him as K-Dog, so he said, send us a tape and we'll check you out. Conan got offended and called him back.
How come he didn't, like, introduce him with his real name?
I don't know. Because I think he was just trying to stay in character.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So, and then, of course, Billy Kidman and Disco Inferno didn't go over because they were both promised big pushes if they stayed with WCW.
Right.
So, yeah. And then, so Shane, he had left for a while, then he came back, and that's when he started the feud with Ric Flair.
Okay.
Interesting.
So they had the match at Slamboree. At Slamboree 2000, which actually was not a bad pay-per-view, to be honest with you.
Which pay-per-view was that?
Slamboree 2000.
Slamboree?
Yeah.
Yeah, some of the Slamboree pay-per-views were not that bad.
Yeah. I mean, and even like the out of the pay-per-views in 2000, Slamboree was probably one of the better ones.
Right.
So. So now fast forwarding a little bit, you know, he's in a tag team with Buff Bagwell. They don't hold the titles for very long. And then he starts feuding with Billy Kidman over Torrey Wilson. And I think it was at, New Blood Rising 2000, which was in August of 2000. They had a match called the Viagra on a Pole match.
That's stupid.
Oh, wow. I think we talked about that, yeah.
That to me is like, why would you want to do that?
Well, it was WCW in 2000. Vince Russo was kind of in charge, and it's just like, okay, the wheels are falling off anyway. I mean, it was at this same pay-per-view, that Buff Bagwell took on Chris Kanyon in a Judy Bagwell on a forklift match.
Oh, another stupid idea.
Yeah.
So Vince Russo practically killed WCW.
Basically.
Pretty much. I mean, he helped it die faster than what it was than it was going.
Yeah.
And it wasn't going anywhere.
Right. So they do that, and then obviously, you know, he finishes out 2000. He wins the U.S. title again. Now, when WWF bought WCW, he did not go with him because he decided to just sit out his contract. And plus, his wife was about ready to give birth anyway, so
right.
He decided, okay, I'm just going to stay home. That's when and then in 2002, he took over XPW. And then in 2003, he joined TNA. Are you guys familiar with his TNA work?
Wasn't he a manager in TNA?
He would be later on, yeah, but he did start off as a wrestler.
Okay. I mean, I haven't seen his work in TNA. But I remember him like in WWE and WCW and ECW,
okay.
But not so much TNA.
All right. Eric, did you know of any of his work in TNA?
Not really. I mean, how early TNA?
He was there from 2003 till about 2000, early 2007.
That's when I kind of watched it, but I don't remember him there.
So
he was feuding
with Raven for a little while, and then in mid 2004 he kind of retired and became an interviewer, and then it was mid 2006 he decided that's when he became a manager. And started managing the Naturals, Andy Douglas and Chase Stevens.
Okay.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. So then he would do that for a while. Then by like February of 2000, I think, he was gone. He came back in for a little bit in 2009. He had a kind of a feud with Christopher Daniels. He would lose to Christopher Daniels at Slammiversary that year, and then he would be gone again.
And he hasn't wrestled since, right?
I mean, he's done independent shows.
Oh, yeah.
So
he's pretty much still active in the wrestling business.
And for the most part, I think for the most part, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he does autograph signings and all that. I know that he was at a convention that Eric and I were at about 4 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's right, yeah. And we never went up to his booth, right?
Not pay money to see him.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I did walk past his booth, and as I was walking past it, I yelled to him, "You suck."
Oh, you did?
Walk away. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Did you say anything?
Not that I know of. As far as I know, he didn't try to come find me. But yeah, like he still does the autograph signings and all that.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, when you're able to do autograph signings, I know now everything is virtual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of nasty.
Yeah. Of course. I do have a question.
Sure.
Well, what's his beef with Ric Flair? Can we get into that a little bit?
Yeah. So, he felt like when Flair was the booker, he felt like he could have, Flair could have done more to stick up for a lot of the younger guys.
Right.
But there was only certain guys that Flair believed in, and Shane Douglas wasn't one of them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then when Flair came in '93, you know, it was more the same. You know, Flair didn't believe in a lot of the younger guys.
Okay.
So he was kind of favoring. Yeah.
What was that, Stevie?
So he was basically favoring some of the older wrestlers.
Right. I mean, and in like '93, Flair really didn't have much stroke in the company anyway, because when he came back, Ole Anderson basically said to him, "Why are you here? Like, we need to push the younger guys, not you."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So basically, that he meant he should have just stayed where he was, right? Or
right,
what he meant.
Something like that, yeah. So that caused problems with or between Flair and Ole. And I don't think their relationship.
Oh, wow.
And I don't think their relationship has ever recovered.
No.
Is that why he wasn't at the reunion, 10 years ago?
Who, Ole?
Yeah.
Are you talking like when the Horseman got inducted into the Hall of Fame?
No, when Ric Flair retired.
I think that's one of the reasons why, yeah.
Because didn't they bring back all the Four Horsemen? It was... I know Anderson was there. Tully was there, obviously.
And Barry Windham.
And Barry Windham, yep.
Well, yeah, because those are like the members of the Horsemen. That incarnation of the Horsemen was the most successful incarnation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Was that the second time? No, was that the second? Run or when Ole left or something?
That was actually the third version of the Horseman.
Okay. And people say that's the best one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of hard to disagree with that.
We should do it a Four Horsemen retrospective sometime.
We could. I mean, we're coming up on the 35th anniversary of them forming.
Maybe that's something we could do next week.
Yeah. Well, you got to talk it over with the boss. Because like I said, I probably won't be on next week.
Okay. See if he wants to do a show. I mean, we could probably review Hell in a Cell or something.
Yeah. That's something you could talk with him. All right, so basically, anybody have any more questions or stories about Shane Douglas that they want to get into?
Not really. I mean, speaking of Hell in a Cell, do you want to talk about that a little bit? If you guys want... Briefly?
Yeah, I only know of, like, three or four of the matches.
Yeah. There's only, like, four Hell in a Cell matches. The two title matches, the women's title, and Hardy and, what's his name?
Elias.
Hardy and somebody, I forgot. Elias.
Yeah, there's only four matches listed on the thing right now.
And I think that women's tag team title match. I saw.
Last year's Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, like, they only had like four matches advertised and a bunch of matches were added the day of.
Yeah. Because the Hell in a Cell are going to take a lot of time. They're going to take at least 20 minutes each, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, and there's going to be three of them, so you know that they're going to devote time to them.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Especially the women's one.
Yeah.
Who do you guys think are going to win the Hell in a Cell matches? Everybody retains besides Bayley?
I think Bayley loses her title.
I would say Bayley.
Sasha.
I think Bayley's going to lose. I think Roman's going to retain. And I don't know. I mean, why would you give Orton three title shots in a row if you're not going to give him the title?
Orton's the guy that takes the title away and then Drew takes it back in November or something. Give Orton one last title. I mean,
yeah.
What is he, 13, 14?
This would be his 14th reign if he were to win on Sunday.
So he would be tied with Triple H, right?
Yes.
So there you go. Just saying.
I don't know. It's gonna be interesting. I'm looking forward to that. I know. Obviously, we got to take care of business before that show even starts. But with the cartoon,
yeah.
There's a good Sunday night football game now. So, there's going to be
competition all around.
Yeah, right.
Good thing we're starting our show at 5.
Yep, and then you got Hell in a Cell. You got Seahawks and Cardinals. You got a couple good games on doubleheaders.
Yeah,
it'll be a busy weekend.
It's definitely going to be a busy weekend. Now, anything else you guys want to kind of get into before we head out here? I know it was kind of a short show tonight, but we blasted through everything.
Not really. I mean, I can't really think of anything.
All right.
I mean, we talked about that one, so a little bit. There's not that much to talk about besides the format. We just gave our thoughts on that. But. Unless you have anything.
Okay. Nothing really except for, obviously, again, and I'll stress this point, if anybody's listening to us live, or if anybody listens to us, you know, later on the download, if you are going to participate in the cartoon contest this Sunday, and basically what that means is you're going to give us what you think are going to be the top 10 of the 30. Because, again, it was we had a top 30. We had it narrowed down in the polls. Then I gave everybody, the 30, and they were going to give me what they think the top 10 are going to be. And if you can either guess it accurately, or if you're the one that comes the closest in guessing it, you will win a $25 gift card to wherever you want.
Nice.
So just make sure everybody has their entries into either Eric or myself by showtime on Sunday. So 5 p.m. on Sunday.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, Stevie, you don't have to worry about that. You already gave me yours.
Yeah, I already gave you my top 10 already.
Yeah. So, and you'll be on the show on Sunday anyway, so you'll be able to, you'll find out firsthand if you were right or not.
It's going to be a fun show.
Yeah, it's going to be a real fun show. Also, make sure you check out, we had a lot of help from groups, from cartoon groups on Facebook. From Saturday Morning Cartoons Apocalypse, on Facebook, from Saturday Morning Cartoons 80s, 90s, the group on Facebook. They helped me out so much that they decided to, after I was done with the poll, they kicked me out of the group.
Huh.
I'd love to know why the fuck that happened. Also, I think it's still being looked into. Cartoons for Life, they helped us out quite a bit. And then Cartoons from the Past. So any and all the groups that helped us out on Facebook with the polls, and, of course, obviously our group, the Old School Wrestling, and Style Monster Sounds Off. So anybody that voted in any of the polls, we appreciate it. And thank you for helping us out there. And just make sure you tune in on Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, here on blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted to find out what the top 10 greatest cartoons of all time are. Oh. Anybody have anything else?
No. Fun show.
Nothing.
Talking about Shane Douglas.
Yeah. All right. So I think that pretty much does it for us here tonight. So we'll see everybody on Sunday for the top 10 greatest cartoons of all time countdown. It's going to be a fun show. There's probably going to be a lot of disagreements, I think, within the top 10. And there's one thing everybody needs to remember about this top 10. I had nothing to do with it. This was voted on by the people.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I had nothing to do with this.
So basically everybody voted.
Yeah. We had over 500 people participate. We had over 500 people voting.
Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah. Not bad. Okay. You only get like 5 or 6 people to vote.
Yeah.
So, all right. I think it's about time to take it home. All right. What was that, Stevie?
Thanks for bringing me on. On the podcast.
No problem. You're part of the show now.
Yeah.
So, all right, and then we will see you on Sunday at 5:00.
Yep.
Okay.
So, all right, guys. All right. For Eric, for Stevie, I am Doug. And we will see you all this Sunday.
I'm going to play the promo, Doug.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Right, later, guys.
I see you. before God and my Father in heaven tonight, as I said I would be world heavyweight champion. In the tradition of Lou Ness, in the tradition of Jack Briscoe, of the Briscoe brothers, of Dorian Fultz Jr., of Terry Fultz, the man who will never die. The real nature boy, Buddy Rogers, upstairs tonight. From the Harley races to the Barry Windham, to the Ric Flairs.
The era of the ECW.